today. So I'm proud of my baby. The show took you one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. We took the chance to watch She Loves Me on Broadway HD, and we will talk about it today. I'm your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi! We've been eating plenty of ice cream. I don't know what that intro. Like, if anything, we've been eating too much ice cream during this whole quarantine.
We're Zooming with our baby, Alex Pacella.
I'm also eating too much ice cream. So,
yeah.
What's y'all's brand of choice?
House.
Well, we last time we got ice cream, we got like a big thing of it.
Like a family kind.
We got like the big kind. And then it was, it went away faster than either of us anticipated. But the thing is that we had one time where we ate ice cream together. And then the other times was us just sneaking it in the kitchen. Watching. To which I went for my last sneak and was like, where did the ice cream go? And Kimberly was like, and she's like, and then I was like, oh, I guess we've both been sneaking. Yeah. But that was my favorite part of the musical when he's like, brings her ice cream to cheer her up. And I was like, yes, it does work. That is an effective way to feel better.
Yep. I've been eating like garbage this whole quarantine, but also lifting weights. So it is anybody's ball game.
That is hilarious. That can bring us right to Baby Meets World. Have you met a new world?
Surprisingly, even during lockdown, Baby can meet some world.
Yeah. What are we about to eat these days?
So first, I started over Instagram Live a show called Everything is Rent with my friend Samantha Prosser, the only game show that involves the musical Rent, I think, ever. I think that's the first time that's existed. And we do fun things. We always we read Rent fan fiction. I'm currently reading this one. We're pretty sure they're all written by children. It's called Why Am I the Witness? Where Mark witnesses a murder. It's really, it's something. And then we play our signature game, which is Everything is Rent, which is like a 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, where you have to take a topic and like jump it over by degrees to something involving rent. And we played a five. Whoever gets to five jumps is the loser. And then we always do an assignment at the end, like, okay, what's the song that Roger would write about coronavirus? So I wrote a song called Corona Rona, and it was very Roger. And it's a very good time had by all. And I want to say a month ago or a week ago, I don't know, because quarantine time is just everything and nothing at the same time. I had the idea on Facebook Live to sing as much of Hamilton from memory that I could for charity, and I raised like $150 for the Red Cross.
How far? Which was nice.
I made it all the way to the end. I accidentally skipped
the end of the musical.
The end of Act One. I'm gonna do Act Two at some point soon. But I did
tapped out the second stanza of the first song.
It was a lot of mumbling when I didn't know what it was, but I accidentally skipped Ten Dual Commandments, Dear Theodosia, and part of Stay Alive, and then I went back and fixed it. I then tried to do it again on Broadway Baby Pod Instagram, thinking, oh, if I'm doing it on my Broadway Instagram that's geared toward people who would love this, I'll make even more money for charity. Three people were watching. I didn't know who any of them were. And the second I got to Bastard Orphan, my voice gave out. So I was like, uh-oh. And though these people, I didn't know who they were, and they were actively heckling me. And I kept pushing through. I made it to Helpless, and I was like, hey, no one's enjoying this, and my throat hurts, which means no one's giving any money, and no one's having fun, so I cut it off in Helpless.
Oh, no.
Ironically, I cut it off in Helpless. So I'm going to do Act 2 on Facebook in the near future, and that one I'm going to not remember even more from memory, because I don't gravitate to it as much, because it's very sad.
You're not mean, Facella. You're not mean. It's one thing I like.
I know. I'm putting it to good use, though.
How was your quarantine? Oh, I was trying to sing all of Hamilton on Instagram Live, and people were heckling. Ah, cool. I just, you know... Got caught up in the reading, but
yeah, I'm doing that too. The worst moment was someone heckled me in Spanish, and I had to translate it, and it said, "What is wrong with you? Are you drunk? Stop this madness!" Oh, people are so mean. try to do some good in the world. But that's about it. That's all the world babies met.
I had a dream I was writing a musical.
What was it about?
Well, I haven't told you this yet. It was just last night.
Okay.
I had a dream that I was writing a musical about a circus because we were staying with my parents and a bunch of circus animals had gotten loose in their neighborhood and we were trying to round them all up. And I was like, this is fodder for a musical. And so as we were trying to run away from the tigers, I typed up like a 3-inch thick musical about an elephant named Lucille.
Does that mean you want to go to Philadelphia to stay with your parents or no? I can't tell. That's a lot to unpack.
Well, there were,
I think it means she wants to write a musical about an elephant named Lucille.
Mostly the dream was about how me and my mom were trying to go shopping, but we kept having to escape tigers.
Okay.
So I think that's more about that we're not allowed to go outside right now.
Yeah, for real.
Did Joe Exotic show up?
He did not. No, it was definitely like a Barnum and Bailey type.
Okay.
Animal fest, so that might be because of your Barnum book that's lying around.
Yeah.
Have we met a world? We had a date night at the theater last night. It was our living room, and we watched She Loves Me on Broadway HD.
Yeah, that's why we picked She Loves Me, because Alex and I were talking about taping an episode. And I was like, well, we have date night at the theater on Saturday night, so we can very well.
We had show cups that we filled with drinks.
Yeah, we paid $58 for the show. You know, to ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it might be fun if we do like a watch party of a Broadway HD show where we just like zoom each other and like clink glasses and be like, "Oh, we're at the theater. Let's watch the Toxic Avenger."
I just give you a stink eye every time we talk.
Or watch the live Sights and Sound theater production of Jonah and the Whale. I want to watch that so bad.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I know.
You can watch it. I won't.
That would be a good, like, punk rock show. Jump inside a whale. Like, the Dropkick Murphys write, like, Jonah and the Whale. Like,
I get that.
Pretty rad.
Yeah. Actually, that's a pretty good idea.
Shall we do our Word of the Week?
Word of the Week!
By popular demand from Alex Pacella, Charm Song is our word.
My favorite thing about Alex proposing Charm Song as our Word of the Week is that Alex just sent a text out of nowhere being like, oh, can Charm Song be the Word of the Week? And I was like, I don't even know what that is, so sure.
Yeah.
And Kimberly goes, well, that's the whole point of it. And I was like, ah, yeah, you're right. I was like, yeah. I'm like, sure.
I have heard the term, but never really thought about it. Because it's not like an I want song where it always has to happen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up today to see if there was an actual definition, and apparently there's a musical that wrote a song about charm songs, and that's where the term came from.
Huh.
But they do exist. I screenshotted. And so, you know, I turned to the one place when you have a question, the one place to go is the Broadway World message boards.
Oh, boy.
And there was a message board called What's a Charm Song?
Oh.
And so the best answer I got was from I Love Theater Trash. And they say...
You're doing the Lord's work, I Love Theater Trash.
Love with a U. U-V.
Now, when they say I Love Theater Trash, is that like, do they love theater that is trash? Or are they trash that loves theater? Or do they like the trash that's left over at theaters?
Like they go and get the show cups and they... Maybe it's the woman who runs
theater. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
What'd you get in the bag today? Oh, I got a Beetlejuice, a double wine cup, and I got a monkey mask from Wicked. Good day.
Sure.
Cool.
You can sell that at the Broadway flea market.
Yep.
Anyway, I Love Theater Trash says, also referred to by some as the rhythm tune, it is very early on in the show so that the character can charm the audience with his or her own pizzazz, so that he or she can have them on their side throughout the show.
Hmm.
And the example they give is Charity's Soliloquy from Sweet Charity. The other example I saw was Wouldn't It Be Loverly?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not quite a love... it's not quite an I want song. It's a, like, you're going to like me for the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
Song.
You're rooting for me because I'm charming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The pose does happen a lot.
Does Wait For It count as a charm song? Because you're building up... What?
That's an I Want song, and I don't find that song charming. Do you?
Yeah, no, that's a...
Wait For It. It's meant to build a little sympathy for her, but anyway, that's...
Well, sympathy and charm are quite different.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The charm song in Act One of Hamilton, I think, is when he is Farmer Refuted, because it's showing us that Hamilton is the smartest man in the room, and that's why, like, it shows off his character in a way. It's like, here's how you're going to understand how we're framing this character.
Gotcha. Okay, so, because I know someone once explained Charm Song to me, and it sounds like they might have done it a little wrong, because they said it was more about side characters and being like, oh, this is just, like, kind of fun and world building, like, I'm not wearing underwear today. Doesn't matter for the plot, but it's fun to hear another character do his stand-up routine as a song, and it's just fun and, like, fleshes out the world a little more. But it sounds like this is more like that moment in every movie where you see a character who's, like, a flawed hero, but you see them do something really nice or really good so that you go with them when they falter a little bit. Like, it you know what I mean.
But I think it can also be, like, a charm song. It can be, like, a secondary character charm song where it's just, like, here's why you like this side character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, like, it's almost like a world-building and character-building kind of song. It's not necessarily pertinent to the actual moving of the show. At least that's what I've gathered.
Yeah.
But it builds, like, it works for the emotional mechanics of the show as opposed to, like, the on-paper story beats of the show.
Yeah, it's just, like, a fun... upbeat song that you're like, oh, I enjoy this song. And so subconsciously you enjoy that character for the rest of the show.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what would be your quarantine charm song, Kimberly?
Mine?
Yeah.
Like an existing song?
No, I'm just like, if you had to like, you know, like my, I think my quarantine
charm. Be a fatter song about my sourdough starter feeding each
other. Yes. See, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's like the world building of our quarantine. You know, like, mine would be like, I'm doing dishes till I'm dead. Dead, dead, there's dishes every day. So many dishes till I'm dead.
And like, mine would be called You Can't Quarantine My Mouth, and it would be about me starting all the live stream shows and reading and stuff and all the things I do to occupy myself while we're all shut down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or mine would be like, my wife won't let me play video games, even though it's all I want to do.
I let you play so many games.
Quarantine, the best one, Alex, quarantine with your spouse, it's much like this show. It's ice cream. It's my favorite food. I love it. I adore it. I would choose it all the time. But I basically had ice cream for every meal for an entire month. Like, I'm like, oh, no more ice cream. And then life is like Rocky Road. And I'm like, oh, Rocky Road for breakfast.
Like, oh, you got that magic shell that hardens on top, and it's so good.
Yeah, the ice cream's got all the fixings. They got all the good stuff. Yeah.
It's like Templeton the Rat if the carnival lasted forever.
Yep.
It's like, oh, it's been 49 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just eating pizza.
Food, glorious food.
Yeah.
I don't know that reference.
It's
Charlotte's Web.
Oh, I didn't remember their names.
Templeton the Rat.
I haven't seen Charlotte's Web since I was a child.
Oh, okay. Well, you're missing out. It's sexy.
Is there a charm song we think in She Loves Me? The Candy Box?
Yeah, because that shows you she's a good salesman and she's charming. I guess you could say it's a charm song, the opening song about how they want to go on a picnic because you like everyone. Instantly.
Morning, the day.
Yes. And everyone, it helps you relate with them immediately because you know everyone experiences the like, hey man, do you guys just all want to like just quit today and just go do something? And then everyone's like, nah, but like we can't lose our jobs, you know.
Yeah. We'll go to work.
Like every dude, at least once a week at Pasichi, I'll walk in and someone will be like, hey, do we all quit? Because it's nice out. I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
You know what happened yesterday is that Jay's been unemployed long enough that they were closing up the store and She Loves Me, and Jay went, I want to close up the restaurant.
I know. I got really, really sad. I was like, oh, buddy. Yeah. You know that thing I hate doing most of the time? I can't wait to do it.
Yeah.
There's that. Anyway, Charm Song, let us know if you have any favorites, dear listener, dear friend.
Haha.
Because I couldn't, there's not really like a list. Like, it's not like, I don't know. The only two.
Yeah, examples. I thought there would be a list. I still think I'm not wearing underwear today counts, but, and I guess, and She Loves Me, the one from the, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the side character that says never put up a fight against anything. That's kind of a Charm Song.
Yeah. Because you understand his character and you kind of see where his like mindset and.
Yeah. It doesn't really affect the plot.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, yeah. I have, that song in particular, I think is a lightning rod for what doesn't necessarily work about She Loves Me, but...
What song?
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
What song?
Counselor Pat's song.
Oh, yeah. I think you have to like him so that when he is the anonymous letter, you're not as mad.
Okay. Just to touch on two of my favorite shows, where's the Charm Song in Waitress and where's the one in Sunday in the Park with George, do we think?
I love you like a table.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about George?
Is there one?
I don't think
Sondheim does Charm.
Yeah.
That's why we love him.
I guess maybe you could, the one where he's talking to all the different people, I guess.
Finishing the hat.
No, yeah.
Putting it together. Putting it together might actually be a Charm Song because it's technically a different character.
Yeah, or the opening of the second act.
Which is Putting It Together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's much more of an objective term, I think, than... Or sorry.
Yeah.
What word am I looking for?
Subjective.
Subjective. Yeah, I don't know how. I just put my foot on it. I don't know. Somehow I turned on the printer.
Just move your foot around until something clicks on.
Yeah.
Why not? Shall we talk about it? Our date night. She loves me.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Hot take about this show. It has the wrong title. It should be called Dear Friend.
Dear Friend. So
it makes so much more sense.
The history of the show?
No, I did. I glanced at Wikipedia.
So it's
not enough.
It's a Hungarian play. And I always mess up the actual timeline of what happened. It's a Hungarian play that was then translated to The Shop Around the Corner. That became a movie, The Shop Around the Corner. Then She Loves Me happened. So the play, The Shop Around the Corner, was adapted into She Loves Me.
So it was adapted from the movie, not from the play?
No. It's adapted from the play.
Okay.
Hmm.
The way you phrase that is that...
I just said there's a play, then a movie, and She Loves Me based on the play.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I think both. The play was the movie.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know, like, maybe if they adapted it.
Well, I think the movie was a musical, so that's why I said it was based on the play.
I see.
And then the most recent adaptation was You've Got Mail.
Yep. I remember that, and I was like, huh. I always love when you find a movie, and you're like, you read about it, and you're like, oh, this is based on a old Lithuanian folk tale. And you're like, well, it's about people that work at Staples. How?
Yeah, and that is You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
And that's why her shop in You've Got Mail is called The Shop Around the Corner.
Oh, okay.
That's my favorite.
I've never seen You Got Mail. Am I in trouble?
You've never seen You Got Mail?
I have not.
If this is a movie podcast, that would be your homework.
It is actually a good picture. And I think it actually, like, story beat-wise, it structures out, like, the story a little bit better than either the play or She Loves Me, for that matter.
Well, yeah. The more rivals, because she owns a bookstore and he owns, like, Barnes & Noble, basically.
It's my biggest gripe with She Loves Me is that the show really tells us that the two of them don't get along, but there's really...
No reason.
No reason or basis for it at any point.
Yep.
It's just like...
He's just jealous. Rawr.
They just say that they don't like each other a lot, and so we as an audience are just supposed to be like, oh, they don't like each other a lot. Because they wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. They like build up show.
Yeah. And then you've got he's putting her out of business.
Yeah.
They can't love each other.
I always assume there's like an actor's secret between the Balazs and George, where it's like, oh, let's just decide on an incident where we hated each other just so we can do the scene. But
sure.
But it still is like, oh, we just need it because we need it.
Yeah, that's interesting for the actors, but like as an audience member, I'm like,
exactly.
They're like, oh, we don't like each other. I'm like,
he wanted to be the best salesperson, and she showed him up.
Yeah, but she just came in for a job. I don't know.
Yeah, and then he brought me ice cream and found my shoe, so we good.
Oh, yeah. My shoe!
The interesting thing about this production in particular, and I would recommend anyone watch this production, because I think it may be one of the better things on Broadway HD.
It's what made me get a Broadway HD account years ago, because I watched this when they did it live. Because this was a live stream, Alex. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Broadway HD live stream of a major musical.
Yeah.
And so what you see is a live production. There's actually not a lot that goes wrong, but
she misses the ice cream.
Well, she does miss the ice cream. It falls off her spoon.
I thought that was on purpose. It was played perfectly.
Because she's perfect.
Yeah, she truly is.
But I remember like sitting down on my couch and being like, I'm watching a show. How fun.
Yeah.
Yay. Then,
had a good amount of the cast on Broadway, so it was interesting watching it now. And like knowing half of the ensemble.
Nice.
Oh, that's Cameron Adams, the first time. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the best, we were talking about this earlier, it's maybe the best version and best cast of this show. In that like, oh, this is an excellent production that a show that I'm like kind of on the fence about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept realizing that, just the girl songs are just kind of nothing. And I was like, oh, yeah, men wrote these in the 60s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the songs from, like, have that weird 60s thing where they were like, I think it's kind of like Sondheim kind of like landed in the 60s in a weird way. Like, people were just like, oh, you don't really write a hook. Like, it's artistic if you don't really write like a hook or like a chorus. Or something that like, people can latch onto. Because a lot of the songs in this show like don't really have like a strong enough through line. Because they're like trying to be sing-spokey and trying to be like clever. And it's like, nah, I just kind of want like a...
I didn't find that.
Yeah.
None of them were sing-speaky.
The Librarian song has those weird little... And like, I don't know. Like, She Loves Me could have been, like, She Loves Me is an acceptable song. It is
They're humble.
There are some very,
They also run into the trap of, it was written for Barbara Cook, who was the original Marion the Librarian, and so they wrote this score with a high soprano in mind, which has been to the detriment of probably many other productions, because it is very hard to all of a sudden be in an aria, basically. And then be likable and funny.
Yeah.
It is hard to do that when
Laura Benanti is perfect. Yeah. But it's the kind of thing where she starts singing those songs and you just like mentally become aware that she's singing.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like a weird thing to say about a musical, but like people are singing songs and you're just kind of like into it. But when she starts singing Vanilla Ice Cream, you're like, oh, that's really high. Oh, that's.
Yeah.
Like
oh, that, wow. Yeah, I remember watching being like, oh, that warble is a little too intense for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibrato. It's like, ah!
Yeah. It's also not entirely her normal voice type. She's a soprano, but this is in the stratosphere. Every song.
Yeah. She nails it, though.
Oh, she is so good. Yeah. I do encourage you to go back and listen to Barbara Cook sing it. She's so good.
I bet.
Just because I love Barbara Cook.
Yeah, I told Kimberly that I wasn't really totally aware of who Barbara Cook was, and she looked at me like sad. I kicked a dog. I was like, what?
I do kind of love that, like, I'm the Broadway baby, but once in a while, Jay is, like, the Broadway teenager. He's like, who the fuck's Barbara Cook, Mom? I don't...
Yeah.
To which I just say, you have a BFA in musical theater.
Yeah, I learned how to do it. I don't know how to like it.
Zachary Levi, the young Jerry Orbach that he is.
He really is.
Love. I love him. I liked him already from Shazam, but I was like, my God, he's charming. My God.
You ever watched Chuck? Charming.
I've never watched Chuck. No, I vaguely knew of its existence.
He's so good on Chuck.
Yeah.
Like that first half of the first season.
Oh, I love that show. Oh. Yeah, it's a good one.
Maybe that's a show we start here in the quarantine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
My quarantine show was Westworld, even though I don't like it. I just can't stop watching it.
Oh, you know what? I have quoted your tweet about Westworld to a lot.
What's the tweet?
Really?
He tweeted, he was like, I want to watch a show that's as good as Westworld thinks it is.
I always watch it, and I'm like drinking wine, and I pause and go, who thought this was good? Like, my like self-care is just being puzzled about Westworld. Anyway.
Alona was a great number.
Alona was a great number. Yeah.
Split drag?
Oh, the split drag. Yeah, that was pretty excellent.
Yeah.
It was. It looked like it hurt, but.
Splits hurt.
That's one of those moments I'm like, oh yeah, everyone on Broadway gets physical therapy. That is.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Uh-huh.
She probably goes right back. He's like, all right, we're up.
Yeah, I mean, we do split drags across the house all the time. Like, my hip sockets are starting to hurt. And,
because yeah. I drag him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
boy, just eating ice cream going,
as I pull.
This sounded so much fun on day three, but not so much anymore. Yeah.
I will say, this show world builds better than most shows. Like, I think that's like the strength of She Loves Me, is that like you totally understand the world and you kind of almost want to live there a little bit.
In the shop. The shop,
like,
was so pretty.
The shop was so beautiful. Yeah. That was amazing. Like, and all of, like, the characters are finally, like, written out, and, like, you really care about this little world, but then, I don't know, but then it's all a little too convenient by half.
The thing about, I was hoping they would do my favorite musical theater trope, which they almost do, but kind of shy away, which is you're introduced to a place, and by the end of the show, the place is a den of nightmares. Like, you want to kind of burn down the Kit Kat Club by the end of the show because you're like, it's poisonous for everyone. This is like, I was like, oh, they're going to do it. And then it's like, oh, no, everyone's just kind of sad and that's fine. Like, they almost did it when the owner shot himself, but then he apparently missed his head and went into his arm somehow.
Yeah, well, because Arpad stopped him. Yeah. But I like completely forgot because we did this show. My high school did this show. I wasn't in it, but it did. My high school did the show, so I'd see, like, had a lot of affection for this show. I was like, oh yeah, why is he so mad? Why is he so mad? Oh, and then it just like amps up to 90, and it's like basically like in a Bright Star where he like throws the baby from a train. It's like, oh, what? Oh, he's gonna shoot himself? Oh, like, this is a happy perfume shop where apparently he's got a loaded pistol in his desk. Like, what kind of perfume shop owner has a loaded gun at the office?
One with enemies.
Yeah, there's a reason Hammerschmidt's closed. Yeah, it's like, they do. You know,
man, the perfumery scene, it's like hip-hop. Like, you gotta protect yourself, you know? Yeah. Anyone could be coming for anybody else. It's not about getting the title, it's about keeping it. There's a Suge Knight of... Maybe he was the Suge Knight of perfumery owners. Oh, I'm losing my mind in quarantine, aren't we all?
No, it's fine.
Well, that's what everyone's doing.
Yeah, it's good.
Yep. I don't... Normally, I'm a fount of takes. I don't really have too many takes about She Loves Me. It was nice. I'd probably never go back to it. The cast was spectacular.
Yeah, I think the cast is the only reason that this, like, did as what, like, was as good as it was.
Oh, yeah. Because it is just kind of like a 60s golden age fluffy kind of play.
Yeah, it almost feels like discount Jerry Herman.
Herman. Yeah. Well, it's Bach and Harnick before they wrote Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, this is the same authors as Fiddler on the Roof?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a way more substantial show.
Yeah, I mean, also based on a book, so they just picked a sadder book the next time, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, more than the...
almost sat there with the suicide. Let's go to Russia.
I mean, more like the music has more weight. But I guess that also comes from the source material, too. But, like,
yeah.
What else did they do? Is there any other shows I would know by them?
I'm sure. Let me pull them up.
Because I know Fiddler a little bit.
My mind just always goes to Monkeys and Playbills from Title of Show, which actually would be a fun one to listen to when they go through all of the playbill. Do you know Title of Show?
I don't know it that well, no.
There's a song in Title of Show where the main character collects playbills from shows that ran 50 performances or less. And they kind of just sing.
Bring back Birdie and Bagels and Yucks.
Yeah. And so I always go, when Bach and Harnick were writing Tenderloin. So I know that they wrote Tenderloin.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you. Jerry Bach. All right, they wrote Fiorello.
Heard of it.
They wrote The Apple Tree.
I've not heard of it.
Well, She Loves Me was 1963, and Fiddler on the Roof was 1964. So presumably they were writing them out around the same time.
Well, they were probably working on Fiddler as She Loves Me was running.
Yeah.
Huh.
Then The Apple Tree was 66. The Apple Tree is kind of a weird show. I might be getting it confused with something else.
It's Adam and Eve.
I think it's Adam and Eve.
Honestly, all I can think of is it was Alan Alda and Christian Chenoweth in the most recent production.
Yeah, that's literally that. I was like, it's Christian Chenoweth.
Yeah, it was. And what a weird cross bill that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christian Chenoweth, America's Broadway sweetheart, and Alan Alda.
America's know-it-all uncle.
Yeah, yeah. The living embodiment of a shag-carpeted den.
If a New Yorker magazine could have a face, it would be Alan Alda.
Yeah. Like, kind of smells like cigars, but he quit a long time ago. Alan Alda!
Yeah, Tenderloin, Man on the Moon, She Loves Me, Fiddler on the Roof, The Apple Tree, The Rothschilds. And that was their main stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Fiddler on the Roof is probably what kept them on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
She Loves Me was probably the hit that let that get produced.
Okay, so what's like the history of the show in terms of its, like, where was it first staged and how was it successful and revivals and stuff? Do we have any of that?
Let's see. So it opened in 63 on Broadway, then 64 in the West End. But there wasn't a Broadway revival until 93. And then again in 2016. Who was in the 93? Do you want to know who directed She Loves Me in 1963?
Sure.
Of course I do.
Hal Prince?
Oh.
It was our buddy Hal Prince.
Huh.
And then he was set to, MGM bought the screen rights for Hal Prince to direct and Julie Andrews to play Amalia.
Oh, that's good.
But there were a lot of delays, and by the time it was going to happen, she was already doing Mary Poppins.
Oh, man.
So we didn't get a movie. But it was going to be her and Dick Van Dyke.
That would be phenomenal.
I know. So go back in time. The 93 revival was also at Roundabout, and it was Judy Kuhn and Boyd Gaines.
I don't know, Boyd. Judy Kuhn's from Fun Home?
Oh, she was in Fun Home. Yes. Days and days and days.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's how it happens.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she was in Les Mis. Boyd Gaines was in the Patti LuPone Gypsy. And many. Okay. I like him a lot. Oh, it was at the Eugene O'Neill. The romantic old-fashioned show was short on big song and dance numbers, and the Eugene O'Neill Theater was too small to generate a big profit. Oh, so I guess it did not do terribly well. It is short on big song and dance numbers, and then they do that weird thing with the atmosphere. Am I the only one that hated
that?
Yeah,
I think it's an okay song. Yeah. It's not a terrible song, but it's completely irrelevant to everything that happens later.
And
like, it shouldn't be there.
Fun enough.
Yeah.
To be fun.
Yeah. And also the busboy stumbles on maybe like a weird sex party and...
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, is this about to get Eyed Wide Shut in here?
Did he really?
He sure did.
Are you looking him up for me?
Yeah, I just didn't know who Boyd Gaines was. Apparently he won the Tony for She Loves Me in 94. So, yeah.
He's great.
I was like, oh, yeah, I do like this guy.
Do you want to do some Little Loves?
I would love to.
She Little Loves Me?
Yay. I've got a couple. First of all, I love the lyric. There's a few fun lyrics in the opening song. Like, we keep the tilt of our hats right. That's right. That's fun. And also, if that's the price to get suntanned, I'll stay untanned. That's clever. Yeah. I love Tonight at 8. And first of all, I love Zach Levi and the whole thing. But I love Tonight at 8 because I have lived that song so many times. If I have a date I'm freaked out about, or like an audition or a big show or something, I'm just like, can't it just be now? So I cannot build up 10 hours of nerves.
Yeah.
And lastly, I love the running gag where they go, thank you, madam, please. And then they play the whole thing every time. Like, the running joke has a button every time.
Yeah.
Do, madam, boop. And they do it every single time that joke comes up. It's so funny.
I think
it's so funny, but it's really charming.
Yeah. I think, and that's one of my loves as well. And I think it goes a long way towards the world building. And there's one thing I love about, like, and this may be one of the earlier examples of it, when a musical, like, takes something that, like, is that can only exist in a musical, do you know what I mean? And, like, yeah, kind of takes an aspect of something and, like, makes it normal. And that, like, yeah, like, everyone would say, like, thank you for coming, but, like, them, like, making it a little song and, like, doing that thing, I was like, yeah, I can see that happening, but, like, this can only exist because this is a musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's like almost
Stone Creamery.
Yeah.
It's like it's like almost meta, but like just a little bit enough to not be obnoxious, but to be fun.
Yeah. And my other love, the Christmas sequence, I love, and I love any kind of sequence like that in a musical where they're like doing something, but they keep doing it faster. Mm-hmm. And also, this show depicts the passage of time so spectacularly. Oh, look, it's autumn. I'm just like, ah, that's all. Honestly, I was like, that's all you need to do. Cool, great.
Huh. Yeah. Time has passed.
How are we going to tell them that, like, it's been a couple months? Ah, just make it snow and be like, ah, it's a wizard.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah. One of my little gripes, though, I think this show ends so abruptly. So abruptly.
Like, yes.
That scene where they realize that they're the other person. It just seems she's just like, he's like, I'm that one. Oh, okay. Smooch, smooch, smooch. I don't know. It just felt a little.
You're not wrong.
Yes.
I do love that moment when he starts to sing. Because I know we've talked about on the show how, like, sometimes I gravitate more toward sung through musicals. But Jay, you love that moment where dialogue starts to become a song. It's like that changeover is very poignant.
Yeah.
I really felt it when they're talking and they're like almost going to argue, and then he starts singing her letter back to her, and it's just that moment where it begins to be melody, like, is really, really powerful.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with you, but they play it very well.
Yeah, you're right.
They do. They're so good at it.
That is a
and then what's the next scene? Like,
I thought they were going to go
next.
I don't know. I thought she was going to get upset that, like, he was lying, that he
no,
was
gone. Because she was hoping it was him. That's why she wrapped up the box she knew he'd hate.
Oh, that is okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
She's like, oh, she's kind of trolling him at the end because she knows it's him. She's hoping it's him.
Oh, okay. Well, they don't show. I don't know.
There's subtext.
Yeah.
My little gripe is that music box is ugly. They could have made a music box.
That was the whole thing. That's why they
wanted the point.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's just so, like, masculine in such a pretty little shop.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the point.
Also, the costumes in this show
are so good.
Spot on.
Her pajamas? I want those pajamas.
I know. Yeah. And, yeah.
That's probably my little love, is her, like, fake getting dressed, like, being like, oh, wear a sweater, which sweater? Looking for her shoes and the dresses and stuff. They're so good.
Did you feel seen by that at all?
Yes.
Here's my other shoe.
I feel like as much as we talk about how She Loves Me is just okay, I feel like there's a moment where every type of person feels kind of seen in this show.
Yeah. I kind of have become like, when he was singing about just like, hey, just swallow your pride and just do your job, I was like, yeah, that's kind of how I've gotten about waiting tables now. I'm kind of just like, I don't, you know what? It's like, I don't need to, I'm going to show up and do it. And
that's Counselor Pat giving you some advice.
Oh, man. I love him.
I was thinking it was him because I'd watched your preview video about how he was on Broadway. I was like, is that the guy? I've never seen
him.
That movie.
I was
like, is this the connective tissue of why we chose the show?
No, but it helps.
No, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he lives in the neighborhood. He lives around the around the restaurant now. He's been coming in a lot, and I just really want to tell him how much that movie means to me. He's so weird, though. No one wants, like, you're out to dinner with your family. You don't want to be doing that stuff.
I think if you did it in a really calm way and didn't make, like, a scene, you'd be fine. Because you'd be surprised.
You know, I recognize you from the Camp Hope promotional video.
Yeah.
Because usually people are cool about that if you're nice about it.
Yeah. Oh, I've already figured out how it's going to happen. I'm going to, like, wait on them and, like, be cool and, like, have a good time with them. And then at some point, like, if, like, it comes up where, like, one of his kids is like, oh, you probably recognize my dad. I'm like, oh, yeah, from the Camp Hope promotional video. And then just, like, walk away and, like, be, like, hilarious. And then I, like, drop the mic and then, you know, throw confetti up and spin. Really casual, you know, really casual.
Cool.
Yeah. Cute little show.
Yeah.
A nice little like diversion from
yeah.
You know, it is a statement to the musicals are a very serious art form, but sometimes it's just like, yeah, I just like want to go hear people sing pretty and just like have there be a happy ending. Yeah. Sometimes I just want. And that's She Loves Me, like, with a bullet.
Yeah, there are shows where I'm like, if you tried to make this sad at the end, it would literally be a betrayal of the audience. Like, yeah. if the prom ended sad, you did it wrong. It's supposed to end happy. It's designed to.
It's musical.
Yeah.
Or, I was talking about a show recently, and now I forget which show and what the point was, so never mind.
Okay.
What would we tell Harold if he was in our living room quarantined with us while we watched this show on Broadway HD?
I'd say leave. I wouldn't say it particularly forcefully, but I would hope he'd take the hint. But you can even follow it with the cell phone going off, if I'm honest.
Yeah. For me, I'd be like, hey, Harold, while you're up, can you give me another gin and tonic?
And a vanilla ice cream.
Also, where are you going to sleep? Because you're in my house, homie. I don't...
I've been here 2 weeks, so... Cool.
Well.
He's like, don't mind me. I'll sleep in the tub.
Okay.
How's your quarantine? Oh, we got an old man in the tub, but other than that, totally normal.
Doesn't know how to work his phone. What a problem.
His wife can't come get him because he can't figure out how to call her.
I missed you guys.
I missed you. Do you have a review?
Huh?
Do you have a review?
Oh, I didn't prepare one, and I'm using my phone to broadcast this. So, no, I don't have one right now. I'll write one down next time. I've written all my stuff on a paper pad.
That's cool. We're just doing the best we can, man.
Yeah.
Yep. Just fiddling while the world burns.
All right, sing out, Louise.
Thank you, listener. Download again, download again, listener. Boop.
Okay. Yay!
That may be my favorite one of all time.
Really? Is it because it was mercifully short?
Yeah, I mean, you subverted my expectations because I was like, here it comes. I was like, he's gonna vanilla ice cream this thing, and I was like, nah.
Thank you, madam. Please call again. Do call again.